And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr. with Prophecy Q&A Live. Well, I am not coming to you from San Antonio, Texas. I'm coming this week. As I said last week, I'm coming from Duncan, British Columbia. That's on Vancouver Island. And I am not the expert at this place, although it is beautiful. I have with me today the pastor that called and requested that we come up here and do a conference, Pastor Rob Westlake. Rob, I mean, when you picked me up at the airport, we met at Victoria, Vancouver Island. And you said that you went to Tennessee Temple on a hockey scholarship. Brother, you have got to tell me. First of all, I want to talk about the conference and what we did here, the work that you're doing. But I want to hear your testimony. You came from Canada to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to Tennessee Temple, and played hockey. How did that come about?
Well, really, it was just the work of the Lord on how he put it all together. I had gone to a youth conference in Toronto, Ontario. I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior that night and just was burdened beyond all measure to reach young people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I knew that I needed a biblical education from that moment on, and so I began to ask the Lord where he would direct. And by chance, well, there's nothing by chance, yeah. But God led me to an organization called Hockey Ministries International, and there was a recruiter from Tennessee Temple there. And at the end of that conference, he offered two hockey scholarships to go play at Tennessee Temple. And I was one that accepted that scholarship, and the rest is what we call history.
Now, a little bit about me. I love hockey, and I like being in Canada. Pastor, tonight, the last night of our conference here, gave me a Canadian jersey. And I know the Olympics are coming up, and I will be pulling for America, but real close up there, I'll be pulling for Canada also. Thank you, Pastor. That was great. So you accepted the Lord at what age?
17.
17. God called you to Jamaica. I mean, here's a Canadian boy going to school in Tennessee at a Christian college in the South, and from there you end up going to Jamaica. How did that all come about?
Well, as soon as I went down to Tennessee Temple, it was really missions, missions, missions. Mm. Dr. Lee Robertson's one major push was missions, and that became a burden of my heart. And, you know, at the beginning, my greatest desire was to reach Canadians with the gospel because I realized the massive need that is here in Canada for good Bible-preaching churches. But as the Lord led and directed, there was an opportunity to go to Jamaica through Tennessee Temple, and God opened the door in such miraculous ways that was able to afford to go on that trip. And it was there that God just burdened my heart for the area of Jamaica. I finished my 4 years of college, and I was married then to a beautiful, fine wife, and we worked
Is she from Canada?
She is from Atlanta, Georgia. I stole one of the good Southern girls. And our heart's desire right from there on was to go to the mission field. Mm. Now, something I didn't share with you is as we went to our first mission board, they suggested Jamaica was not an area that we should go. And so our initial attempt was to go to Benin, West Africa.
Wow.
And God closed that door for us when I was there on our survey trip. And just the difficulties of getting into that field closed that door. But one thing that was mentioned to me was those slaves in that day were brought and landed in the Caribbean from Benin, West Africa.
Wow.
And so God then opened the door through a different mission board, and that's how we ended up in Jamaica.
Were you planting churches in Jamaica?
Yes, we were church planters in Jamaica, in the capital city of Kingston and then into Portmore, just outside the capital.
And how did you, now when you finished up, you were there how many years?
Just about 4 years.
And the work of the Lord, what was one of the lessons that you learned from that time there?
The greatest lesson I learned is that God was in control, be it by life or by death. Mm. Something I did not share with you is one of the main reasons that we left is my son drowned in a pool.
Wow.
And the struggles that my wife and I had to go through in that issue. Now, God, by his grace, allowed me to revive him, and he's still with us today. Praise the Lord for that. But the greatest lesson I had to learn was that God is in control, whether by life or by death.
Pastor, that's an unbelievable, and Christians all around the world really have to realize, understand the sovereignty of God, and that our God is in control. And
yes,
we taught that. We studied Daniel this week, one night, and that's an amazing testimony. From Jamaica, you came to Canada.
Yes, and that is a story and a half of itself. I told my wife that
back to your homeland.
That's right. I told my wife if God would call us off the mission field and back to North America, I would just ask him to lead us to the West Coast or to Canada. And there he led us to the West Coast of Canada.
So. Yeah, it's a merger of the two. That's
right,
great.
Absolutely.
Now, I've been here. My parents, my mom told me, listen, you're going to love the hospitality of the Canadian believers in Jesus Christ, the Canadian Christians. And I have to say, your church has opened its doors of hospitality. What was your thought process in wanting to bring a prophecy conference to this island here in Duncan in Vancouver Island?
Well, I would say first and foremost, it has been a topic brought to my attention by our church people probably strongly at least for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I saw the desire in the hearts of people to study on this topic.
Mm.
One of my greatest desires, you know, I say later in life, getting saved, is discipleship.
Mm.
And my heart's desire that I have tried to implant in this church is that concept that Paul placed to Timothy to study to show ourselves approved, mm-hmm. workmen that needeth not be ashamed,
mm.
rightly dividing the word of truth.
Mm.
There's so much in our lives that causes us sometimes when we can't answer a question to maybe feel like we would be ashamed to share the gospel.
Mm.
And if I could train our people in the complete word of God, that they wouldn't have to feel that they may be ashamed.
Yeah.
That's my great desire. And then the fact there that Paul told Timothy, train faithful men that they may be able to teach others also.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really the desire that I pushed for this conference, that we might be able to train up faithful individuals that they might be able to teach others also.
Now, folks, you're listening to Prophecy Q&A, and I am actually asking the questions of Pastor Rob Westlake, the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Duncan, British Columbia. I guess you would say British Columbia or Vancouver Island, British Columbia.
Either way you want to say it, it's British Columbia.
So you are listening to Prophecy Q&A this week. I know that we have a lot of questions. In fact, Pastor and I, after church and after each session, we've had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Folks have listened to our Prophecy Q&A program before. You've heard me do the trio of triplets, the three strands of the human family, the three prophetic books of the Bible, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation, and then the remaining timeline, the rapture of the church, the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the return to this earth, and then the great white throne judgment. We started out with that on Sunday. Interestingly enough, we used that verse that you just talked about and setting up, and it's on my website. The reason we study Bible prophecy is to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's one of the verses that we used our first day. That's great that's one of your verses. It's amazing how God works, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And each night, they served dinner. There was lunch after church on Sunday. There was dinner each night. Fellowship of the believers here in this church, others that came from outside the area, from outside of your church that came in each night. And anybody that knows me, I always say I'm going to try to finish. I'm a little long-winded. But you know what? Your people are so gracious, Pastor. I mean, and that really, it takes on the people take on the personality and the attitude of studying God's word from their pastor, if it's encouraged, and from the leaders of the church. And each night they were afterwards asking questions. The next night they were here. And Monday night we went through and we looked at Daniel in about an hour and a half. And the Antichrist, the appearance of the Antichrist and coming on the scene. We looked at the prophecies, the mountain peaks, as we call them, in the book of Daniel. And then Tuesday night, we did the book of Ezekiel, looking at basically the alignment of the nations in Ezekiel 38. But we did try to get through all 48 chapters of the book of Ezekiel. And tonight, we finished up with the book of Revelation. And really showing people, you know, going through the book, the timeline, putting the timeline up. Pastor provided notes the first night and less notes, and tonight he gave them a blank sheet of paper, and they went through and did the outline. I mean, there were the young people here were doing outlines, the older folks. I mean, you had, I believe, one young lady, 14. Your kids have been here every night. I think from the young ones of the church all the way up to the senior saints were taking notes and so very much with us. And we looked at the timeline in the book of Revelation. And then we also looked at the rebuilding of the temple in the city of Jerusalem, that temple that the Antichrist will go in and desecrate. And we looked at what the Jewish rabbis and the people that are involved in the Temple Institute in Jerusalem are doing right now in the rebuilding of that temple. And that's what we went through as we did our conference. Was this beneficial for your church that we went through and the way that we did Bible prophecy?
I believe it is, or it was, absolutely beneficial. I would say, like most people, time will tell.
Yeah.
One last, I guess, if I had a trio of singlets, I'm not quite as brilliant as you are. So I think if we see the fruit of success, it's going to come in that verse in Hebrews, not forsaking yourselves, the assembly together, the other believers. And so much more as we see the day approaching. I believe you clearly laid out for us that the day is nigh. Mm. And I believe the fruit will show on how people then go from this moment on. But yes, I believe as you answered questions, the knowledge that we received will help us to do the work of the ministry that God's called us to do here.
Well, and I'm just, you know, we're students. You're a pastor. You're a student of the Word. You're teaching that to the men of the church, the women of the church. I'm a student of the Word. A lot of the people that listen to Prophecy Q&A are students of the Word, and we encourage them. And I think the one encouragement that I got, and as I try to encourage your folks, is why we use Bible prophecy. And it's to motivate us to live a pure, productive life in an unholy world. And to understand the urgency of the hour. And what I really liked was your brochure, the bulletin, for this conference, understanding the times. And that's what Daniel did. Daniel, by going to the Word of God, understood the times in which he was living. And that's what we did this week. Pastor, quickly moving from the conference, let me just ask you about Canada. Your vision now that you have come back to your homeland, the land of Canada. Can you share with me what you see as really the spiritual aptitude or atmosphere or temperature of Canada, and what has God burdened your heart with?
I don't think things have changed very much since I was 17 years old, 18 years old, walking onto the grounds of Tennessee Temple. Somebody asked me what it was like in Canada. I said, the reality is all of us have most people have the attitude, we love our social aspect and we love our sports. Mm. And really, our life is driven around those two things, which causes a very lackadaisical, lazy, non-desire for the things of God, because our eyes are so focused on what God's Word says, the temporal pleasures that are for but a season.
And that's human nature.
But, one of the greatest things I see, and my focus is very small, I'll just throw that out there, is the Bible-believing, born-again churches across Canada have the desire to see God's Word preached completely and truthfully. They desire to see missions just at the forefront with church planters going around the world. and then that attitude of teaching others also in their churches so that they may be able to then have a just a massive group of people in their area just winning others to Christ, and that whole complete attitude, evangelizing, and then, as God said, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded. And it's that twofold commitment that I believe in my focus of Canada we see happening with great excitement.
Folks, Pastor Rob Westlake, Bethel Baptist Church, Duncan, Vancouver Island, British Columbia. And I've got to say, keep them on your prayer list. Keep the men and the women of this church in this area as they are being a shining light in a dark world. And that's what we are called to be. They're doing the work of what the church is supposed to do. I've been with them. I've fellowshiped with their men and women of their church and with Pastor Rob. And I'm asking, keep them on your prayer list. Keep the people of this church on their prayer list. And keep Canada. We need to look out. We need to be praying for others and understanding where we are on God's timetable by studying Bible prophecy and looking as we look at the end times where we are. I do believe it's coming soon tonight, as always. Absolutely. Both my dad and I, and a lot of people have had dad in their church. My prediction of the rapture coming tonight, and if it doesn't come tonight, see me in the morning, because I believe we are that close to this rapture taking place. And hopefully, as you have been an encouragement to me, we've been an encouragement to you in studying Bible prophecy and seeing God work. I'm praying and I'm confident in the fact that God's word will not return void, and we're going to see an outpouring of God working in this community within the men of your church, the women of your church, and future in your life, should the Lord tarry, in Canada, and your vision, as we have talked about a vision that you have, and the need to have a proper eschatology and understanding what's going to happen in the end time, and take that to the churches, not only in America, Canada, and around the world. And that's what we're involved in. So thank you so much, Pastor, for allowing me to be here, the privilege to be able to speak to your people, and trusting me to teach God's word. We're taking a look at a couple of the questions that we have come in. This is a Q&A program. I need to get to some questions. And Lisa DeGarmo sent in a question, and she talks about she's so thankful about our website and broadcast. She's been listening to them for many years now. And she recently made Prophecy Today her homepage. Well, Lisa, thank you so much. And that compliment and doing that. She says, I'm a believer, and over the years, God has pierced my heart with a deep love for his people, Israel. You help me connect with them and help me understand more of God through his unique relationship with them. I was not raised in a Christian home, but when I started attending church, I began learning mostly from the New Testament. Pastors and teachers may not have intended this, but they seem to make the Old Testament irrelevant. Unfortunately, that seems true today as well. As I grew in my faith, she talks about using Jeremiah 29:13 as her verse for her goal and a reward for studying God's word. And that's what Jeremiah 29, that's a promise that it makes. So she has a question about those that reject or decide not to accept Christ, and the rapture happens, will they? And we have said this many a times. We believe, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that those people that reject Jesus Christ and the rapture takes place, they will not have another chance to accept Christ. In fact, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Let's start at verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders, which interestingly enough is the number one sign that we're living in the end time. Satan will use signs, wonders, and miracles to deceive people. And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12, gives us an indication, Lisa, that somebody that has heard the gospel message and rejects it, and the rapture takes place, they will not have another chance to accept Christ. Now, we know that many people, I would say maybe millions of people, will accept Christ should they live during the tribulation period after the rapture. You remember our God's timeline for the end times, the rapture of the church, the next thing to happen on God's timetable. Then you have that seven-year period of time talked about in Daniel chapter 9, the time of Jacob's trouble, the day of the Lord, seven-year period designed to judge those people on the earth for that did not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And to bring an end to the transgressions, to the sin, to the iniquity that's taking place on the earth. In this seven-year period of time, half of the world's population is going to be wiped out. Should people not accept Christ, or those people that don't accept Christ, they won't have a chance to accept Christ during the tribulation period. But there will be people that will go into the tribulation that never had an opportunity to accept Christ. Should they live in these 21 judgments that are unleashed on the earth and half of the world's population is wiped out, should they live, they'll have an opportunity, because the 144,000 male virgin Jews talked about in Revelation chapter 7 will be traveling the earth as evangelists, sharing the gospel message. That's when the whole earth will hear the gospel message, as it says in Matthew 24. At least some, no, they won't. There's another time that people cannot accept Christ if they reject him, and that's when someone dies. And those are the two situations. If death comes first, or if the rapture happens and someone has rejected Jesus Christ, they've heard the gospel message, understanding that they must receive Jesus Christ in order to have eternity, to live eternally with him. If they reject that, they won't have another chance to accept Christ as their personal Savior during the tribulation period. Thank you for sending that in, Lisa, and we sure appreciate your helping with us and keeping us a part of your daily life as making Prophecy Today your homepage. Shelley sends in a question along the same vein, and she's asking about me making that statement about those that have rejected Jesus Christ, they will not have an opportunity. And she talks about her husband, and Shelley will be praying for your husband so that he might come to the Lord, keep living a godly life in front of him. She says, I've always believed that there was still hope for him even when the rapture happened today. And Shelley, you use 2 Peter 3:9. I agree with you. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but and is long-suffering toward us. But at a certain point in time, he has to bring that to an end. And that's when he tells his son to go to the edge of the heavenlies and bring your children home. And also in your question, you say, so if people in the tribulation take the mark of the beast, Dad, my father, says that they still can be saved after the mark of the beast. They can only be saved if they did not reject the gospel in the first place. Exactly right, Shelley. Those are people that... that's a different topic, and I'll let Dad speak to that topic about the mark of the beast and his comments on there. But I do believe that people that reject Jesus Christ before the rapture, and the rapture happens, they will not have another chance to accept him after. And we will promise to pray. Let's keep Shelley's husband in mind, and all of our loved ones that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Thank you, Shelley, for sending that question in to us. Ellen Nolan sends in a question. She says, I'm hearing a lot of preachers saying we have to store up food like Daniel did for the time of trouble. They are saying we are mistaking that the Lord is not taking us out of anything. We are going to see the Antichrist, and we need to be prepared by storing up food and getting portable energy sources for when there is no power. I have been taught since I was saved in 1979 that the Lord will take us out of here. I am confused, and God is not the author of confusion. Well, Helen, you're absolutely right. God is not the author of confusion, and what you were taught since you were saved in 1979 is correct. The Lord will take us out of here. You know, unfortunately, I find it very interesting how so many pastors are sometimes ignorant when it comes to Bible prophecy. All you have to do is read the scripture and understand that we are not going to be here. And you use that by using proper hermeneutical principles for studying Bible prophecy. The rapture is an imminent event, and we know this, and it's that way for a certain reason, so that we live our lives prepared every single moment for the rapture to take place, either the rapture or death. One of those two events takes place. We are ushered right before, and that's the last thing that we can do. Our lives are finished and complete at those point in time, and the next thing that we'll do is we'll be standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, at death, you will wait until the rapture takes place, and then all of us together will be brought into the throne room and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But as you look at prophecy, there are specific days that are laid out. I mean, there's so much that we could talk about the church not being mentioned, the proper hermeneutical principles for studying Bible prophecy. 16 times the church is mentioned from Revelation 1 to Revelation chapter 4. After Revelation chapter 4 all the way to Revelation chapter 19, 11, the church is not mentioned at all, 0 times. So if it's not mentioned, then we're not there. And a lot of people misinterpret Matthew 24 and think that that's referring to the body of Christ, when in reality, proper hermeneutical principles, there are only Jews on the earth at that point in time, Gentiles and Jews, and Jesus was speaking to the Jews and preparing for his return to the earth. But there are people that mix that up, and Helen, let me just assure you, you don't need to prepare to go through the tribulation period. Now, you might need to prepare to suffer persecution. There's nothing that says that we won't suffer persecution as a church. That's happened a lot in the last 2,000 years. Christians have been persecuted. Christians are being persecuted around the world today. People always think, well, we're safe from that. We live in the great United States of America. And I'm not sure where you're from, Helen, but I would think that you're from the United States. I assume that. I even think in our lifetime, should the Lord tarry, we could come under severe persecution for being followers of Jesus Christ in the United States. Times are changing. I think that would be very good for the church to go through some persecution, but we are not going to go through the tribulation period, and you have to use the proper hermeneutical principles. The rapture being an imminent event, can happen at any moment. From Revelation chapter 6 all the way to Revelation chapter 19, there are specific days that are laid out that events take place. And, you know, no matter if you put it mid-trib or at the end of the tribulation period, all we have to do is just live whatever way we want to until we see these things start to happen. Then we can get saved and get our lives right. But that's not the way it works. We are to be prepared and living on a daily basis for the Lord to return at any, for the rapture to take place at any moment. So thank you, Helen. Be assured you are absolutely right. God is not the author of confusion. Sometimes we get things confused. I feel very strongly about this, obviously, and I'm sure this pastor or these pastors that are saying these things do too, but use the proper principles for studying Bible prophecy and you won't make that mistake, or pastors won't make that mistake. Wayne sends in a message, a question. He says, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, which I understand refers to the Messiah being cut off sometime after that period mentioned and not an exact fixed time. Why have they left off the 7 weeks part from verse 25? Well, Wayne, if you look at it, the 7 week period is the 1 week is mentioned, the last of the 7 weeks is mentioned in verse 27. And then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. This is the last week of the 70th week of Daniel. So it is mentioned there, and that's just mentioned in verse 27 as you read through that and study Daniel chapter 9. Thank you for your question, Wayne. Appreciate it. Again, this is the 70th week of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, and the time period that's laid out for the time that Messiah would be, from the going forth to the building of the temple, and to the time that Christ would appear in the city of Jerusalem, 483 years. And then the last week makes 490 years, which is the last seven-year period of time. Thank you. That's a good study in the book of Daniel. Just got done teaching it, Wayne. And thank you for your question. We've had quite a few people send in messages or questions. How do we feel about Muslim sightings of Jesus? There are many other organizations and ministries that are talking about this. Let me first say that one of the signs of the end times, Satan uses signs, wonders, and miracles to deceive people. And I don't agree that these are visions of Jesus. I don't agree with the ministries that are talking about that these are visions of Jesus. Hopefully that they will see, or they will bring to light, that I don't think that Jesus manifests himself today in a vision to us. We have his word, that we have a more sure word, which is God's word. That's how he manifests himself to us today. And so I don't think that he manifests himself in visions to people, and only to a certain group of people. You know, the next time that we're going to see him, that the world will see him, is when he appears in the clouds, when he's coming back to the earth. But I'd be very careful. I'd challenge people to be very careful, because Satan is very deceptive, and he will use signs, wonders, and miracles in the last days. I think it's evidence of the fact of where we are on God's timetable. Daniel talks about it. 2 Thessalonians talks about it. Jesus warned that when he was talking to his disciples. Be careful that no one deceives you. And deception. And I think that's a part of the deception. So thank you for your questions that came in concerning that. Be very careful with ministries that are purporting that, you know, these are visions of Jesus Christ. Alan DeVries sends in a question. He says, do you believe in the rapture? Yes, Al, we sure do. And we believe that that's the next thing to happen on God's calendar. First talked about in John chapter 14 in the upper room with Jesus with his disciples. And then talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. We believe that the rapture is the next event to happen on God's calendar, and it could happen at any moment. We're praying that people will be prepared for this event to take place spiritually. They need to be ready, pure and productive, living a holy life in an unholy world. And we need to tell others about Jesus Christ in this event of the rapture that will take place to take the body of Christ home into the heavenlies. Thank you, Al, for your question. We sure appreciate that. And if you listen to our ministry or you look on our website, that question's not very hard to find an answer to on our website or in our teachings that we have on our programs and such and what we do. Brenda Hingston sends in a quick question about basically the same thing. Do you believe the Christians will be taken up before the tribulation, pre-trib, or will we who are Christians go through the tribulation? We believe that the rapture will take place before the tribulation period. It's all indicated in Daniel and then the book of Revelation. Can you refer me to a book or articles with your position on this subject? Yes. Brenda, you can go to our website and to our Prophecy Today bookstore and order the book Revelation, a Chronology, and even Daniel, the Times of the Gentiles. You can order either one of those books. Revelation, a Chronology is a great one, and Daniel, the Times of the Gentiles is another great one. Thank you, Brenda, for sending in your question to us, and keep studying. She says she's been studying Israel Under Fire and the series there. We have many more DVDs on our website, different things like that, that update some of the topics that we talked about on Israel Under Fire.
You're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live, Jimmy DeYoung Jr. You know, we've been teaching about everything that's taking place, understanding the times. And every time that I teach it and every time that I go, I'm just convinced even more, understanding where we are, that the rapture of the church is about ready to take place. There's nothing left for me to say except let's keep looking up until.